Once he had settled in Vilnius, Čiurlionis wrote in a letter to Halina Volman, "I want to describe in broad strokes my life here. First of all, the abundance of jobs that I was expecting here has turned out to have just been a dream. I've been suffering without a job from the moment that I have arrived. I have only one student who comes once a week. As a matter of fact, I recently started conductor and choir 4 times a week. But I have already managed to catch the flu 3 times, and if this continues, I won't make any money with the choir either." When Čiurlionis, the director of the choir, became ill, he was visited by Dr. Andrius Domaševičius, who was a descendant of nobility. As soon as Mr. Domaševičius returned to Vilnius, he joined the underground Lithuanian resistant group, the so-called 12 Apostles of Vilnius. He was also the founder of the Lithuanian Social Democratic Party and helped organize the Great Seimas of Vilnius in 1905. He ran a private clinic as well as a hospital, was interested in music and wrote articles for the Lithuanian press. Čiurlionis described him thus: "Dr. Domaševičius is highly intelligent, passionately in love with classical music, has dark hair and blue eyes, and cared for me very attentively when I was ill." He first described a couple who were kindly disposed toward him and helped him when he was looking for ways to support himself in Vilnius. They were Jonas and Ona Vileišis. At the time, Jonas was the chairman of the Vilnius Kanklė Society and was one of the founders, along with Čiurlionis, of the Lithuanian Artists Society. Elected secretary, he seemingly did not have time to manage his duties. And that is why Čiurlionis took a bit of a swipe at him in his description. "Jonas Vileišis is a very nice man who is a bit of an aristocrat, a bit bourgeois, and a member of every single Lithuanian society in Vilnius. It would seem only for the fact of belonging to it. He is very much in love with his wife, and she was certainly someone to fall in love with. Jonas Vileišis met Ona, a beautiful girl from the aristocratic Kosakovsky family, who was completely taken with her husband's national ideals and began not only to speak but also to write Lithuanian. Čiurlionis played 4 hands piano with her. She was warm and sincere, always ready to entertain a guest." In the list of new acquaintances, Čiurlionis also mentioned Jonas' brother Petras Vileišis, the most ardent supporter of the Lithuanian national movement. After completing his studies and becoming a railway bridge engineer, Petras Vileišis worked as a construction contractor in the depths of Russia and accumulated a considerable amount of wealth that he used upon his return to Lithuania to set up a business and to promote the Lithuanian cause. He created the first Lithuanian daily, Vilnius News, established Lithuanian printing house and a bookstore. Many of the nation's most enlightened people, Jonas Basanavičius, Gabrielė Petkevičaitė Bitė, Juozas Tumas Vaižgantas, Mykolas and Vaclovas Biržiška, who organized the Great Seimas of Vilnius in 1905, had been able to settle in Vilnius thanks to the jobs provided by Petras Vileišis. The first Lithuanian exhibition was also held at his mansion. In this exhibition, Lithuanians were able to view Čiurlionis' works for the first time. Čiurlionis commented that Petras Vileišis is a very sympathetic old man, simple, kind-hearted. A few years ago he had about 500,000 and now he has been left with 50. He gave it all away to people and for various programs for the rebirth of the nation. In fact, Vileišis' funds dropped even more dramatically, and this prompted him to leave for Russia again to earn money. In the letter, Čiurlionis admitted, "We sympathize with each other." While hanging his paintings for the first exhibition, Čiurlionis became acquainted with a 27-year-old artist, Petras Rimša, who was one of the first in the press to encourage Lithuanian artists to think about a joint exhibition of their work. At the beginning, Rimša, who had come to Vilnius from a rural environment, was a bit shy around his older colleague, but soon established a close relationship with Čiurlionis and became his dedicated assistant when Čiurlionis was organizing the second Lithuanian art exhibition. Much later, Rimša recalled with pleasure what a good mood had prevailed when the artists were preparing the first Lithuanian art exhibition. "The soul of the good mood in our circle was Antanas Žmuidzinavičius, but Čiurlionis was also a part of it. They were both wonderful at singing. After all, it's only natural to sing while working. It seems as if today that I see Chulonis and Zhmuidzinavičius up high on ladders hanging paintings. And then a wonderful song from Zukiya starts to pour out of their young hearts. Oh, forest, forest, you forest green. We would get so involved in singing that work would stop altogether. The preparation of the exhibition cemented us all into a very close friendship that was quite rare. In September of 1907, the artist famous for his landscape painting Antanas Zhmuidzinavičius, who had studied in Warsaw and Paris, became the chairman of the newly established Lithuanian Art Society. He remained in this position throughout the existence of the society. When he set out to further his studies in Munich and to raise funds for the society, Chulonis replaced the chairman in all of the organizational work. Zhmuidzinavičius later recalled how at the opening of the first exhibition, Chulonis came in all dressed up with an oversized bow tie. There was one young lady who, upon seeing his strange paintings in which the underground mingled with the sky, decided that she wanted to see the artist himself, whom she thought would probably look like God knows what. And Chulonis, who was standing nearby, was quick with an answer. "Madam, he is truly horrible, like a dragon who swallows virgins." Zhmuidzinavičius, who loved concerts, continued on an impression Chulonis' music made on him. When Chulonis would play, life in this world would come to an end. The artist himself would transcend this world and take his listeners along with him to other, more beautiful worlds of dreams and illusion. After moving to Vilnius, Chulonis stayed in close contact not only with Lithuanian artists. One of his most important acquaintances was a contemporary artist, Lev Leiba Antokolsky. After Antokolsky graduated from the Vilnius School of Drawing and studied with Ilya Repin at the Imperial Academy of Arts in St. Petersburg, he spent a bit of time in Paris. For the previous 5 years, he had already been the director of drawing classes at the Vilnius Jewish Craft School. Chulonis' extraordinary imagination first caught the artist's attention when he visited the first Lithuanian exhibition. Chulonis' symbolic works immediately appeared to be full of deep philosophical meaning for Antokolsky, and he equated the original interpretation of musical themes to a shining, dazzling meteor. Later, Chulonis met with Antokolsky on organizational matters at the Vilnius Art Society and also invited him to his room in Andreevskaya Street. Lev Antokolsky recalled after that meeting that Chulonis was there alone with his ingenious ideas, and the sound of his music surprised one with its sad and sensitivity. Lev Antokolsky wrote an introductory letter with which Chulonis later presented himself to the artists of the World of Art group in St. Petersburg. This proved to be very useful for Chulonis in establishing his position in the art scene of then capital of the Tsarist Russia. Chulonis was also visited in his room by Ivan Trutnev, a painter in the academic tradition who was already 80 years old at the time. After studying in Moscow and then touring the cities of France, Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Italy, he for the past 4 decades headed a drawing school in Vilnius. Ivan Trutnev had earned the title of Academician of the St. Petersburg Academy of Arts, as well as the titles of State Councillor and the True State Councillor. At the end of 1908, Ferdinand Ruščic, who had taught Chulonis at the Warsaw School of Art, moved to Vilnius. They were artists of virtually the same generation as they were born, only 5 years apart. After having studied in St. Petersburg, traveling to Munich, Berlin, Dresden, Paris, and Vienna, and working at the Krakow Academy of Arts, Vilnius attracted Ruščic because of its less pretentious environment and because an early exhibition of his works had taken place in this city. The house in Užupis, where Ruščic lived, was relatively close to Chulonis' rented apartment, and the two artists would occasionally meet. Once, when Ruščic visited the Lithuanian art exhibition, he commented that only Chulonis' works were worthy of note. After the death of Chulonis, Ferdinand Ruščic, who was one of the bearers of his coffin, gave a eulogy at the gravesite. "We have gathered to say goodbye to a person of an adulterated purity, to a friend with noble aspirations, and will remember him deep in our thoughts as a tragically interrupted song. Another artistic soul close to the environment of the Vilnius Art Society was Stanislav Philibert Fleury. After graduating from the Vilnius School of Drawing and learning the secrets of the craft of photography in the workshops of several famous masters, he decided to establish his own photo studio. Fleury not only photographed Vilnius, but also painted landscapes of his beloved city and illustrated books. Later on, he was one of the first to begin producing stereoscopic photographs of Vilnius. Because Fleury's studio on Didžioji Street was so close to Čiurlionis' rented apartment, he dropped by his colleague's place on the morning of June 1908 to have his picture taken there. His fiancée, Sofija Kymantaitė, said that the photo was taken after they had spent the night together on Gediminas Hill. That morning, without practically any sleep after having transported a piano and being dead tired, he remembered that he had promised a photo for Šaltinis. He stepped into the photographer's studio, and the result is the photo that everyone has seen. But in that photo there is something lacking. There is no lucidity in his expression. The ever-present glow of his eyes is missing. "I was so tired that I did not even comb my hair," he tried to explain afterwards. Antanas Vileišis, an active participant in the Great Seimas and the Science Society, also worked in the organizing committee of the first Lithuanian art exhibition. Being a progressive left-wing man, the doctor was sincere in his efforts to found societies for his socially vulnerable countrymen and also worked in the Vilnius City Duma. Čiurlionis conducted some of the choir's rehearsals at the premises of the Vilnius Lithuanian Mutual Relief Society, and Antanas Vileišis was the chairman of this society. Konstantinas was visited in his home by the writer Liudas Gira, who, like Čiurlionis himself, was born in Dzūkija region. Liudas Gira wrote poetry and contributed articles to many Lithuanian periodicals. The composer has asked the poet to translate from Polish into Lithuanian the text of a song for which he had composed music. Musical improvisations of Čiurlionis evoked a string of romantic images in the soul of the 24-year-old poet. His hands, like lightning, evoked chords from all over the keyboard. Piano and forte melodies swayed like the tops of Dzūkija's pines swinging in the wind, was the way Gira described the work. Most likely, their mutual interest in folk songs and folk art connected them, because when Čiurlionis started painting sonatas, Liudas Gira wrote in the press that he regretted the vagueness of this type of theme, preferring earlier fairy tales. Čiurlionis had a number of rehearsals and concerts with the St. Petersburg Conservatory vocal class student Kipras Petrauskas, who became well known to the Lithuanian public after his performance in the melodrama Birutė, where he sang the part of Birutė's brother. It is not known whether Čiurlionis was acquainted with the first composer of Lithuanian opera, Mikas Petrauskas, but there is no doubt that he met with the author of the libretto of the work, Gabrielius Landsbergis Žemkalnis. Marija Peseckaitė Šlapelienė, who played the main role in this melodrama, also sang in the choir led by Čiurlionis. For over a year, Mrs. Šlapelienė had been managing a Lithuanian bookstore that she had opened, while at the same time raising her young firstborn daughter, so she decided not to pursue a career as a vocalist. However, singing in the choir helped her to nurture her hobby. Choir rehearsals were held quite late, after a day's work was done. On dark winter evenings, Čiurlionis often had to accompany Marija Šlapelienė home to Saracenų Street. During preparation for the second Lithuanian art exhibition, Čiurlionis was earnestly assisted by several loyal helpers of the society. Sofija Gimbutaitė and Marija Putvinskytė both came from Lithuanian nobility and had acquired the profession of a dentist in Paris. Together with Čiurlionis, Sofija Gimbutaitė joined the board of the Lithuanian Art Society and was the organization's treasurer and later served as its secretary. She sincerely believed that a necessary condition for the survival of the culture of every nation was the development of art as well as the establishment of the National Museum, and contributed as much as possible to the realization of this goal. Sophia donated a huge amount to the society, and this ensured her membership to the organization for life. The headquarters of the society were registered at the address of her apartment on the former Preobrazhenskaya Street. Letters and works of artists who intended to participate in the exhibition were sent there. From there, Chulonis carried them to Framers and later to the premises rented for the exhibition. In the autumn of 1907, Chulonis stayed at Gimbutaitis' apartment until he found a room for rent at Andreevskaya Street, in which we are right now. Even when he moved out, he went to this caring lady every day for lunch. Sometimes, when he was too busy, she brought lunch to the artist at his rented place. "She is an incredible creation. She brought me borscht today and warmed it up on the small stovetop. I lunch at her place and she has started to fix my teeth," admitted Chulonis. Unable to pay for lunch, the artist presented Sofia Gimbutaitė with his green-colored painting, The Boat. Gimbutaitė had also acquired the first part of Chulonis' diptych Sadness. At the time of her death in October of 1911, she left both paintings to the Lithuanian Art Society. Members of the Art Society would also gather in Maria Putvinskytė's apartment. After arriving in Vilnius in the summer of 1906, Maria Putvinskytė opened her dental office there and became actively involved in the preparation of the first Lithuanian art exhibition. She participated in the founding and board meetings of the Lithuanian Art Society and assisted many other societies. Maria was close friends with Antanas Žmuidzinavičius, and when he went abroad, she assisted Čiurlionis in organizing the exhibition. In his letter, Čiurlionis described her as an enthusiast. "She is nice and plays billiards." After getting to know her better, Čiurlionis experienced how kind and generous she was. When he had to go to Warsaw to print the exhibition posters, it was Maria who provided him with train tickets. The journalist and writer Ona Pleirytė exhibited an exceptional amount of exalted attention to Čiurlionis. She wrote pieces based on the motifs of his paintings and published her impressions under the pseudonym of Vaidilutė. In gratitude for her attention, the artist presented her with his painting Longing, which was destroyed during the disasters of the Second World War. Ona Pleirytė left a description of the artist and his works. "Čiurlionis' paintings are extraordinary. It's hard to even describe them. I've visited many European museums, but I have never seen anything like this. Čiurlionis himself is also extraordinary. He is one of those people who draws everyone's gaze and forces them to notice him. But at the same time, he is constrained by his own unique and enigmatic personality. He is of medium age and height, with a very strong, sharply defined facial profile that isn't very appealing and rather gloomy. But his large eyes, with their deeply penetrating gaze, a calm demeanor and clear shadow of sadness, and his extraordinary intelligence set him apart from everyone else." "These are all the participants in the comedy or drama in which I have to live," Čiurlionis ironically commented on the people he had met in Vilnius.